The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion approached him and appealed to him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, suffering dreadfully." He said to him, "I will come and cure him." The centurion said in reply, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come here, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Amen, I say to you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet in the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, it's a good little gospel passage here to really take this next step as we are in this in our Advent journey. It's a passage that you might want to hold in your mind because this passage we use for the anointing of the sick. Okay, so when you're receiving last rites, this is the last. I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm feeling kind of dreadful this morning. I guess When you're dying, when you're on your way out, this is the gospel passage you're going to hear. Okay, so meditate on it now, so that it feels better. I don't know where I'm going. Okay, fine. So yeah, okay. It just jogs my memory, of course, the passage, and we use it there because it's a very powerful passage, right? Because the centurion's coming to Jesus for the healing of his slave, and it happens. Right, and Jesus says it really at a word and from a distance, you know, it happens. And here the centurion is honored for his great faith. And I think it's significant for us to see what faith means in this context, right? I mean, he's coming to Jesus to say, you know, "You can heal my servant." Now, Jesus is just, by the way, this is the eighth chapter of Matthew's gospel, right? So the end of the seventh chapter, the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is now on the move, and we're seeing this coming into effect of the kingdom of God, the coming into effect of the kingdom of heaven, and the charter for Israel's renewal is itself being affected, being carried out by Jesus, and he's then calling his people, the people of Israel, to renewal, so that they can be about the work of restoration, which quite clearly here is at hand. The centurion is remarkable because he's not an Israelite, right? So he's an outsider. Right before this, in the eighth chapter of Matthew's gospel, you have the healing of a leper, and he is an Israelite, yeah. But here Jesus says, you know, he was amazed, and he said to those following him, "Amen, I say to you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith." And this is powerful for us to begin Advent this way, because this is the faith that we want to have, right? A faith that seeks Jesus out for all things. He's the center. We're honoring him. He's got the power. He has the authority. We know it. And also, we're not necessarily insiders either. Do you know? So it's this faith of the centurion that really opens up the whole project of renewal to the wider world. Of course, in anticipation of the death and resurrection of Jesus, where the whole thing is broken open, such that Gentile and Jew can be gathered together into the one renewal movement of God. But here, right, this is an advanced sign of the same, and it's good then to remark on the fact that the centurion has this faith. I wish there was a verse or two included after this. You can go back in your own Bibles and read it, because what Jesus says after, he says, "Many will come from the east and the west." He's talking about the Gentiles, right? So it's significant for his Jewish audience to hear this. "Many will come from the east and the west, and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet in the kingdom of heaven." That's happening. That's happening there. Right, the centurion is the advance sign of that. We're living it out now. Yeah, we are living out this reality now. The next verse or two, he says, But many of this generation will not be there. They will be thrown outside where there's wailing and grinding of teeth, right? So here, the sense of the matter is, okay, the call is coming, right? The call is coming. Doesn't matter what the distraction is, right? Doesn't matter what's happening in the wing of the church, right? It doesn't matter what the, I'm distracted because you're distracted. That's a challenge, right? That's the challenge, okay? So keep me on task today, you know? Okay, that's the challenge, right, is this. The call is coming, right? Jesus came to his own. His own people rejected him. Jesus is coming to us now. This is a coming of the coming of Christ. Are we accepting, embracing, rejoicing, right? Are we receiving him or are we not? Yeah, because it will be worse for us than for them. We know, yeah, we had 2,000 years to reflect on the reality that Jesus is the Lord of all. And he's either the Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Yeah, so how are we going to claim him in our lives this Advent season, where we again not only proclaim his kingship, right? We proclaim his kingship in all the different purples and the rest, all the different Advent hymns and the like, but also as we prepare ourselves for his kingship, for the eternal heavenly rule that is coming on earth. Yeah, this is the challenge for us. So how are we preparing the way? And would that we be able to stand before the Lord and hear him, you know, hear his amazement at our faith as well? Do you know that he would rejoice in our act of faith as we come to seek him for what we truly need in order to be about the work of implementing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven.